So those who don't know me, my name is Russell. I'm just going to pray as we come to God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, we come now to your word. Father, quieten our hearts before you. Father, be it worked by your Holy Spirit. Father, that we would be willing to listen and take to heart all that you would teach us. And Father, help us to put to practice all that we would learn. And so, Father, we commit this time to you. Father, I commit this message to you. Father, that all glory would be to you. I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. There was at the start of the new year, there's an important question that we need to ask ourselves. We need to ask ourselves both as an individual believer and as a church. And that question is, what are we going to do? And the answer to that question is, we're going to keep walking with the Lord wherever he will lead us this year. Now, passages this morning from the book of Amos puts another question to us. Can two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? And the answer to that question is no. Two people can only walk together when they have agreed to walk together. Now, if the answer to that question is that simple, then my work here this morning is done. We can sing the last song, we can go have a cuppa. But it's not that simple. And the context of our passage this morning comes from Israel's failure to walk with God. And God speaks to Israel in verse 2 of our passage saying, "You only have I chosen from all the families of the earth." I want you to notice how God puts it relationally. He refers to Israel as the family that he has chosen. And at Mount Sinai, that family that God had chosen, that family that God had rescued from slavery in Egypt, entered into covenant with God. God had chosen them as his family, and they agreed to walk with God and to be his family. Now, with the walking here in question being that of relationship and fellowship with one another, but Israel turned from God. And the context of our passage comes from the perspective of God's coming judgment on Israel because of their failure. So how does this speak to us this morning? And the answer to that is, has not God also chosen us as part of his family? Does not God call us his children? Have we not chosen to follow Jesus? Have we not put our faith and trust in him? And the words of Amos have bearing to us this morning, because God has agreed to walk with us on the basis of his grace through our faith in the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have agreed to walk with God. And so if we're going to walk with God this year, there's three things that we need to know. First, we need to know the danger of lagging behind. Second, we need to heed the warning of running ahead. And third, we need to know the blessing of walking in step with God. If we've agreed to walk with God, then we need to keep in step with God. And God has given us his grace. He has given us his Holy Spirit so that we can do so. But the problem with lagging is that it's a gradual process. It starts with a little, then it becomes a little bit more, then a little bit more, until finally we have lost sight of God altogether. But God's grace remains the same to us. We have willingly put that distance between us and God. And so the fault is on our part. Now, in the book of Exodus, it was not long after Israel left Egypt that they began to grumble about the hardships of the journey, that they began to grumble about the food that they'd left behind in Egypt. I want to say, how often is that us? When the road becomes rocky, we at times want to turn back. And in the parable of the sower, the seed that fell on the rocky ground, it sprang up quickly. When the sun rose and the heat of the day came and beat down upon it, it quickly withered. How many begin to lag behind God when the hardships of life come along, when the road becomes difficult? And when the road becomes difficult, we start to look back. We start to look back at the enticements of the world. And when we look back, we grow selfish and we grow lazy because we see the ease of the world and we want it for ourselves. And our pace slows and we lose sight of God altogether. Now that is the danger, that is the peril of lagging behind. We take our eyes off of God and we start to follow our own desires and we become selfish. Now the psalmist calls upon God in Psalm 119, "Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain." And Jesus warns in Matthew 6, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on this earth." And then in Matthew 16, Jesus says to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I want you to think of all the imagery, the shepherd leading his sheep that we find in the Bible. The sheep goes wherever the shepherd goes. And the shepherd leads his sheep to still waters. He leads them to green pastures. And he leads them through the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd watches over and keeps his sheep safe. When we become Christians, we learn the path that Jesus walked on this earth. And it was a path of self-denial. It was a path of doing the will of God. It was the path of loving others. And that is the path that we also should be walking along. God has chosen us and he has called us to walk with him. And we have agreed to do so. That means we need to take that same road. It means denying ourselves. It means loving God and it means loving others as we love ourselves. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And that's, and simply put, that means if we love Jesus, we will walk with him and we will do the same things that he did while he was living on this earth. We will walk obediently. We will walk willingly, give ourselves to God. If you want to know what walking with God looks like, then read the Gospels. Look at the life of Jesus. Look not only at his hardships and the troubles that Jesus faced, but look at the times of fellowship that he had with God. Look at the times of fellowship he had with others. Look at his willing obedience. Look at his trust in his heavenly Father. Look at his reliance on God. And look at the hope that was his. And look at his love for us. Look at his resurrection. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Can two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Beware the danger of lagging behind. In the book of Genesis, Lot's wife was warned not to turn back. But the pull of life of what she was leaving behind was too much. And so she turned and she looked back. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. Spend time daily with God. Spend time in his word. Beware of being lazy and giving in to selfish desire. Narrow is the way that leads to heaven, but wide is the path that leads to hell. We need to beware of the danger of lagging behind. And we also need to heed the warning of running ahead. If you go for a walk with a group of people, I'm sure everyone's done that at some stage. It's only natural. Some are a bit slower, and they begin to lag behind, and some are faster, and so they surge ahead. But our walk with God, even though it is in this present world, it's not a physical walk. It's a spiritual walk, because God is spirit. Therefore, we need to behave in this world in line with the spiritual nature of God and not the physical nature of this world. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 13, King Saul's son Jonathan attacks a Philistine outpost and defeats it. And so Saul summons all of Israel to come to him at a place called Gilgal, because he knows that as a response to this, the Philistines are going to attack them in return. And the Philistines assembled a huge army. They had 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers. And we are told that they had an army. It was like the sand on the seashore. It was beyond count. And the Philistine army was so large that some of the Israelites fled. And they hid themselves in caves and pits. Some even ran away to other lands, to the land of Gilead. And those that remained with Saul quaked with fear. Now Saul wanted to seek God's favor, and Samuel, Israel's prophet and priest, had set a time by which he would come and he'd offer the sacrifices of the Lord. But when Samuel was late, those that had remained with Saul began to scatter. And so Saul took things into his own hands, and he said to them, "Bring me the sacrifices, and I will offer them." And so Saul offered those sacrifices. Then just as he was finishing making those offerings, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. And Samuel says to him, "What have you done?" And Saul replied, "When I saw that you did not come at the set time, I thought, now the Philistines will come against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offerings." Then Samuel said to him, "You have done a foolish thing. You have not kept the command that the Lord your God gave you. And to offer a sacrifice was for the priests to do." So Saul had done the wrong thing. And Samuel proclaims punishment upon Saul and says that his reign as king will end with him. Saul grew impatient and he ran ahead. And four times in Saul's complaint, he uses the word "I." "I saw that you did not come. I thought, I have not sought. And I felt compelled." If the sins of lagging behind are laziness and selfishness, then the sins of running ahead of God are self-righteousness and self-confidence. And they both come under the banner of pride. Just like when we lag behind, we lose sight of God. So when we run ahead, we lose sight of God. We fall into the sins of selfishness and self-righteousness and self-confidence instead of having confidence in God. So how often are we just like Saul, and we grow impatient and we try to do things ourselves? How often do we forget about God and we look to our own strength and to our own wisdom? How often do we think that we are doing God's work? We come to God seeking his blessing and his help, when really it is our own agenda that we are seeking. God is holy. God is holy. He doesn't need us, but in his grace, he enables us and allows us to serve him. Saul didn't want his army to scatter, so he took things into his own hand. Likewise, in the book of Exodus, Moses thought that he could help in delivering his own people by killing the slave driver. Look how that worked out for Moses. He fled to the land of Midian. When we run ahead of God, we take our eyes off of him. And we act in our own strength, in our own wisdom, and in our own time. We start to go on our own way. We're no longer following God, but we are trying to take the place of God and lead ourselves. Now, that might be unintentional, but it's true. How often we do this? And we do it because we take our eyes off of God. Running ahead of God gets us nowhere. It leads us to exhaustion and trouble and hardship. We have stepped out of place with God. We have stepped out of place of God's blessing. And it leads only to the place of disappointment. Now, the incident in 1 Samuel was the beginning of Saul's downfall. And Moses' attempt to run ahead of God led him from the royal palace into the wilderness of Midian, where he kept sheep for 40 years. So as we look to the year ahead, heed the warning of running ahead. Wait upon God's timing and not your own. Lean upon God's strength and rely upon God's wisdom. Remember the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And that rock was the rock of God's word, of his promises and of his commands. And when the wind and storm of flood of life came, his house stood firm. Then remember the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. When the flood came, his house collapsed. It fell to the ground. There is danger in lagging behind and a warning in running ahead. But there is blessing when we walk in step with God. The book of Genesis tells us that Enoch became the father of Methuselah at the age of 65. And it says that he walked with faithfully of God for 300 years. And Genesis 3, verse 24 says that Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Now, in the genealogy from Adam to Noah, or Adam to the flood, Enoch is the anomaly because he didn't die, but God took him. Now, a little girl once came home from Sunday school, and her mother asked her, "What did you learn at Sunday school today?" And she said to her mother, "Oh, mummy, we learned about a man named Enoch, and he loved to take long walks with God. And then one day, they took such a long walk together that God said to him, 'Enoch, you're such a long way from home. Why don't you stay with me? Why don't you come and stay with me?'" And we don't know anything more about Enoch other than that he was the father of Methuselah and that he walked faithfully with God. But what a thing to be known for in the Bible. What a great thing to be known for. Enoch walked faithfully with God. That means he walked in step with God. That means Enoch was in agreement with God. That means Enoch accepted the terms and conditions of what it meant to walk with God. And he never stopped walking in faith. And I want you to keep in mind here that Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah. So Enoch lived in a time when the wickedness and sins of the world were rushing towards its final judgment, when God would bring the flood and destroy all humanity. And in that time, Enoch walked with God. So what does it look like for us to walk in step with God this morning? I like the story of Joshua. They're just about to enter the land of Canaan, but they had to cross over the flooded Jordan River. And so God said to Joshua, have the priests carry the ark of God, before the people. And when the priests step into that water, I will make the way. I will make the way. Joshua listened, and the priests trusted, and God was exalted, because God caused that flooded river to stop, and all Israel walked through on dry ground and entered the promised land. That's what it looks like to walk in step with God. Sometimes we have to pause, and we have to let our feet get wet. But then God leads the way, and we just need to keep trusting and keep following. Jesus says to his disciples in John 15, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you see the relationship there? I am the vine. You are the branches. The vine and the branch are one. Just as we are the body of Christ on this earth, and he is our head. Just like the branch cannot exist without the vine, so the body without the head is useless. Jesus then says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, and once again, that's mutual relationship. And it's only the result of mutual relationship with God that we bear much fruit. But Jesus then saying, apart from me, you can do nothing. If we lag behind in our relationship with God, we can do nothing. If we run ahead of God, we can do nothing, because we are out of step with God. When we walk with God, when we have fellowship with God, God will be with us, because God has condescended to walk with us, to have fellowship with us, and we in turn have agreed to walk with God and have fellowship with him. And God came and walked and talked with Adam in the Garden of Eden. God spoke to Moses face to face as a friend speaks with a friend at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. That is the intimacy of friend relationship. That is the intimacy of friendship. This is what walking with God is like. It's being in a real and living relationship with God. In any relationship in this world, we need to work at them, and it's no different than with our relationship with God. We need to work at it, because apart from God, we can do nothing. When we walk in step with God, we not only walk in fellowship with him, we go forward in God's strength. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Those words imply that we are walking with God. And if we're walking with God, then we're walking in God's strength. And if we remain in him, then we will bear much fruit. We are abiding in God, and God's strength and power and wisdom are abiding and working in and through us. Now, Charles Spurgeon once led a prayer meeting, and they had gathered for the purpose to seek God's leading as to a new ministry that they wanted to start. And they'd been praying for quite a while, and it came to the point in time where Spurgeon called a halt to the meeting, and he said, stop praying. We've prayed enough. Now it's time for us to wait upon God. In a week or two that followed after that, Charles Spurgeon received a letter in the mail from a well-off elderly lady. And she was from outside the fellowship. She wasn't part of his church. And she wrote saying that she wanted to donate money to their church so they could build an orphanage. God had answered their prayers. God answered their prayers. When you're walking with God, it is God who makes the way. We just need to be like those priests carrying the Ark of God, to have faith and to step in the waters and to wait when God tells us to wait so that he can make the way. Can two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? No. And likewise, we can only walk with God when we have agreed to walk with him. And what are we going to do this year if we want to bear fruit for God? We must walk in agreement with him. We must spend time in his word. We must spend time in his presence. We must spend time waiting upon his leading. We must be diligent in working in our relationship with God. God is a holy God, and he's extended his grace to us. We must beware the danger of lagging behind and the self-sins that come with it. Remember Lot's wife. We must heed the warning of running ahead and the sins of selfishness, self-righteousness, and self-pride. Remember King Saul. Pride comes before a fall. What are we going to do this year? We're going to walk in step with God. Then we will know the fellowship of walking with God. Then we will go forward in God's strength and God's power and God's wisdom. Have you ever noticed when you intentionally go for a walk with someone, how much time you spend talking with each other, how much you enjoy each other's company? God wants to walk with us, and he wants us to want to walk with him. We need to walk with God. When we walk with God, we will go where God wants us to go, because he will be leading the way, and we will do what God wants us to do, because God will be with us, and he'll give us the grace and strength to succeed. Apart from God, we can do nothing. And if God is with us and we are with God, then in Christ, everything will be possible. Everything will be possible in him. I want to finish now with two verses from the book of Isaiah. God says, I took you from the ends of the earth, and from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What are we going to do this year? We're going to walk with God wherever he leads us. And when we walk with God, we can be assured that he is with us. And we go forward in his strength, in his power, in his wisdom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look to the year ahead, Father, be at work in us by your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to fix our eyes on you. Father, enable us to walk with you. Father, walk in step with you each and every day. Father, give us strength that we will not lag behind. Father, help us not to be impatient that we run ahead. But Father, help us to walk in step with you. Father, help us to wait upon you, to wait upon your leading. Father, that we would be faithful to your will in all that we do. Father, we are so weak. We need your strength. Father, we are so impatient. Father, help us to be patient and to wait. Father, help us to remember our walk with you. Father, that you know the way. You just want us to walk with you. Father, help us to want to walk with you. Give us hearts that love you as you deserve. Father, give us hearts that love your commands. Father, give us love as you have loved us. Father, so we can serve you faithfully in the community where we are. Father, we can show your love to those around us. Father, help us to be your light in our community. Father, help us to be faithful to the calling that you've made upon our lives. So, Father, we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.